Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. Jesus is speaking, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go, work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the obedient Son of God, who came to do his Father's will perfectly for us, dear fellow redeemed. Every good coach, every good debater, every good politician who's running for office knows that sometimes the best defense is a really good offense. The powerful offensive football team that keeps the ball for most of the game is as good as a good defense because it keeps the opponent's offense off the field. A good debater who's always on the offensive in bringing his points, making the other person defend them, usually is the one who wins the debate. As we've seen in the political ads of the last several years, those who have the most attack ads and are on the offensive, making the other politician have to defend himself or herself, usually wins the election. Well, in our text this morning, we see Jesus going on the offensive against some of his greatest enemies, chief priests, scribes, the elders, the teachers of the law. In the verses just prior to our text, they were on the offensive, attacking Jesus. They confronted him and asked him about his authority. They said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" They had gone on the offensive, as they had done for most of Jesus' life, attacking him over and over and over again. Our text takes place on Tuesday of Holy Week. In three short days, these same chief priests and elders and scribes would be demanding of Pontius Pilate that he crucify Jesus. And now they're on the offensive again. They accuse him of being in league with Satan when he cast out demons. They accused him of working on the Sabbath with his disciples when they picked some grain as they were walking through the field on a Sabbath day. They accused him of being a drinker and a carouser because he walked and talked and drank and ate with sinners. They accused him of being a rebel against the Roman government and against Caesar. They ridiculed and laughed at him and didn't believe when he said that he was the Christ, the Messiah. But now our text, Jesus turns the tables. Now he's going on the offensive, and he asks them a question. We read again the first verses, the verses prior to our text we read right now. "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John. Where was it from? From heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he'll say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet." So what are they going to do? They're kind of caught between here. So they answered Jesus and said, We do not know. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. One would think that after all of these years of trying and failing to trip Jesus up, to trap him in his words, to get him into a compromising position, and failing, they would have learned their lesson and given up. But unbelief dies hard. And so Jesus, in our text now, asks them the question, but what do you think? And he tells them this short little parable about the two sons. We read again. A man had two sons, and he came to the first son and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And the son answered and said, I will not. But afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second son and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not. One son rudely and disobediently refused to go to work for his father in his vineyard. He says, I will not. But later he regrets it. It's a change of heart. And he goes to work. The other son very piously and politely says, I go, sir. But he never went to the vineyard to work. So Jesus now asks these three Jewish leaders, which of the two did the will of his father? The requests were the same, but the responses were poles apart. Well, the Jewish leaders naturally gave the right answer. They said, the first son, the one who at first refused to go, but then regretted it, and then went. He did the will of his father. But had they known that Jesus was going to use that parable to apply it to themselves, they might have given a different answer. For by the answer that they gave to Jesus, they were pronouncing their own sentence. Guilty as charged. Jesus explained, surely I say to you that tax collectors and harlots entered the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. The first son is an example of the tax collectors and the prostitutes of Jesus' day. Those are living in public open sin. They heard the word of God and they rejected it. They're saying, I will not go. I won't live in your kingdom. I won't serve in your kingdom. But then the word of God comes to them and the law of God can crush their hearts. Let them repent of their sins. The gospel them to believe in Jesus Christ. And they became workers in God's vineyard. The Jewish leaders, the second son, they had the word of God. They worked with the word of God. Many of them preached the word of God. They were outward workers in God's church. But they didn't believe it. Nor did they obey it. They weren't repentant of their sins and didn't trust in Jesus Christ. They were all yes men, saying, Lord, Lord. But there was no action. What a shock it must have been for these Jewish leaders, workers in the synagogue, priests, to hear that such a low life, like former tax collectors and prostitutes, would enter into heaven instead of them. These are the lowest class of people whom these chief priests looked upon as not even worthy enough to be ministered to. They were a lost cause. Jesus showed by this parable that when Jesus came to them and said, repent of your sins, for the kingdom of God is at hand, they rejected that. They didn't hear God's word. Yet they were saying, Lord, Lord, I go work in your kingdom. But by not believing in Jesus, they didn't work in God's kingdom. When John the Baptist came, who was much like the Pharisees, he didn't drink any strong drink. He was a moral man. He came and said the same thing. Repent and believe the gospel. And the chief priests and Pharisees and scribes rejected that message as well. But many of the outcasts, many of those who were outside of the official church and of the priests and the leaders, they heard and they heeded the call. They were led by the Spirit to repentance and to faith in Jesus Christ. And even after leaders saw the obvious change in the hearts and lives of these former public sinners, saw their fruits of faith, they still refused to repent of their sins and acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Such is the ignorance of those who call themselves religious or even spiritual, but don't know the Word of God and don't believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They believe that they are good enough to earn their own way into everlasting life. But they don't realize and they don't see with the law that putrid sewer of spiritual filth and sin that cruises through their hearts day after day after day. They have the word of the law in their mouths, but not in their hearts. They're all show and no substance. They're all words, but no action. They do not do the work of the Lord. And what is that work? Jesus simply said in John 6, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." They did not. So this morning, for our theme, we have another question, just like last Sunday. Very important question, like last Sunday. A personal, individual question that you need to ask yourself. Which of the two sons are you? Are you the one with the empty words, or the one with the repentant actions? Hopefully there are no one here this morning who are outside of God's kingdom of peace. Unbelievers who have rejected the message of repentance and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. But how often haven't we found in our own selfish, sinful natures the same kind of response as these chief priests and these scribes who say, "I go, sir." In church, we sing praises to the Lord. We want to serve His name. We know that we've been saved to serve. And then we leave the church and we go into our daily lives. We're going to serve the Lord, and then we get busy with so many things. We're distracted with so many activities. The mundane things of life weigh us down. And suddenly, our Christian commitment is not as important as it once was. "I go, sir." But we fail to do the going. We also have to admit that at times we're just like the other son, the first son. God's word is plain to us, shows us how we should live. And sometimes our sinful flesh says, "I will not. I won't go. I'm not going to do what you say." But thankfully, in God's grace, the law of God comes to us, convicts us of our sin, leads us to repent of our sin. We look to Christ for forgiveness and salvation, and we serve the Lord with gladness. But there are times in each of our lives when we say, "I go, sir," and we just don't go. Or we say, "I will not go," and we continue to not go and serve the Lord. What a blessing that there's a third son in this story. Did you see the third son? The third son is the one who's telling the story. The Son of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The one who never refused to go into his father's vineyard and do his work. Who never said, "I go, sir," and then failed to go and do his father's bidding. The one who is perfect in all of his thoughts, words, and actions. The one who has come to wash us clean, to cleanse us of our sinful thoughts and words and actions, and to cast our sins in the depths of the sea so that they are remembered no more. This Son also gives us his righteousness through faith so that our hearts are motivated not only to say, "Sir, I go," but then to do the going and do the serving and do the working as well. It's only because of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection that we can be motivated and moved to want to serve in Jesus' kingdom. As obedient sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, when Christ lives in us by the power of the gospel, we'll be willing to do our Father's will. Not just say, "I want to go," but go. When our sinful flesh raises ugly head and says, "No, I won't go," then we turn to that law that convicts us and the gospel motivates us to say, "I'm sorry, Lord. I regret that disobedience. Please forgive me. I'll go and serve you." What a joy to know that even though we have failed as our Father's children so many, many times in our life, he still calls us his sons and daughters. He still calls us to come and work in his kingdom. But what an even greater joy to know that every single one of our sins has been washed away through Christ's blood, and the power of Christ in his resurrection lives in our hearts, in our lives, to want to go and live for our Savior. Our Savior tells us, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." He says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." May this forgiving love of our Savior move our hearts to pray, "Lord, give me a faithful heart, likeness to thee, that each departing day henceforth may see some work of love begun, some deed of kindness done, some wanderer sought and won, something for thee." Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.